right to it. We have an awful lot to cover this hour with Dr. Nyman, who is back with us. Henry's been with this program for 20 years or thereabout, and if you have not had the opportunity to hear him before, very glad you're along tonight and are engaged in listening. Case fatality rate in the U.S. right now, based on resolved cases and fatalities, is about 59% right now. Remember, you cannot project a CFR without the cases being resolved. It doesn't work. That's not science. Okay. No, it's just pouring in. They're beginning to test now, and this is what Dr. Nyman said. Henry was the first to say it. He said the numbers are low because they're not testing. As soon as they start to test, hold on to your hat. Over 100 new cases in two counties in Michigan just today. As Henry said, and he was the first, it's all over the country. So the more they test, the more they're going to find. They'll hold the testing down so as to try to flatten the curve, which will essentially only push it further into the summer, if they do flatten the curve, right on into fall. I guess that's what they want. In fact, I'm not sure if they know what the hell they want. Hello, Henry. Welcome back.
Well, Jeff, it's good to be back, and there is a lot of activity.
Oh, yeah.
And the cases are definitely going up. Just to clarify, the flattening the curve, that's not really dependent upon the testing. The concept of the flattening is that by limiting the amount of contact, that'll slow down the spread. And so the people that do get infected will get infected, you know, over a longer time frame. And therefore, the number of cases that show up at the emergency department will be more manageable, and they won't run out of ventilators and emergency beds and all the things they're getting ready to run out of. They're running out of masks. They're running out of
one mask a day to the hospital physician in Washington, Seattle. One mask a day he gets. That's it. That's it.
Well, they're actually running out of the swabs, so that, you know, the thing that goes up.
They can't even do a test.
Q-tip.
Wow.
So that even if they've got the test, they can't collect the sample because they
they
usually do a couple of them. I think the protocol now is that they do each nostril, so they do two per person plus a cheek swab, I think, on top of the two nasopharyngeal swabs.
Wait a minute. Hold on. How can an advanced first world country, which has had 2.5 months to get its act together, be running low on Q-tip like swabs with cotton on the end?
You don't need swabs for a hoax. This is supposed to be a hoax.
Oh, I forgot. That's right.
You just read about it. You don't have to worry about it.
That's funny. That's really funny.
You don't need swabs for a hoax.
Good job.
You don't need swabs for a hoax. No. But now they're running out of everything, and it's just getting started. And that is why the gains for the last 3 years under Trump are gone. Stock market today is where it was in 2017.
That's right.
And it's why when Trump did his press conference today, especially when he got to answering the questions, when the reporters were asking the questions, and the stock market also, they're looking for real answers. They're looking for numbers. They're looking for facts. They're not looking for, it's a tremendous job. We're doing the best job you ever had. We're keeping the Chinese out. We started that first, And they can't even say where the tests are. They can't even say where these millions of tests, when they're going to show up. And then I could say, well, they'll show up soon. They should show up in the next week or two. It's been the next week or two for the last month.
Two weeks ago, Monday, that the 6 million were supposed to be shipped.
Right, right.
They
right,
promised
right.
us.
It's all of this stuff in the pipeline is coming along. This one's coming on board. That one's coming on board. And eventually they will come on board. But now they're warning that the numbers are going to get real high. Don't believe with your lying eyes that when the tests come on board, you're going to see a big jump in cases. And that's just their backlog, that they've got all these samples collected and they can't test them. And they're just kind of waiting for the test kits to arrive. And then when they do, they'll make up for lost ground and you'll see this skyrocketing of cases. And don't get too concerned about that. Well, there's the skyrocketing of deaths. I mean, people are dead. And the reason you know about them is they used to die from atypical pneumonia. Now they're dying from COVID. And that's what the difference is. They've got kits to test the dead bodies. They didn't have them before. They just went under the rug. And so now they're up to, I mean, they asked in the press conference, they said, you know, we had 100 deaths yesterday. There's already 110 today. Are they going to be going up 10% every day? And they couldn't. The answer they gave was a non-answer. And the answer was, well, you know, when you calculate the case fatality rate, you know, the very sick, they die early. So they die quicker than the ones that get released. And this had nothing to do with the case fatality rate. They want to know why there's 110 deaths today and there were only 110 yesterday. And there are now 140. So there have been 40 deaths today, not 10. He was worried about 10 and they couldn't even address why there were 10 deaths today. And now there's 40 deaths today. And the virus is getting into long-term care facilities. They just did
it's
going to
go through those things like a tornado.
Yeah.
Can't this guy shut up? They need to get him off camera.
Hold it. You know, it was so bad that every time he answered a question, the stock market dropped a little bit more. And he finally caused a halt. Trading was halted for 15 minutes because the S&P had gone down 7%, correct. It was around 5% when he started. He got it down to 7% with about 7 or 8 questions. I mean, it would go down every answer he gave, every non-answer he gave. The stock market dropped a little bit more and a little bit more. And I texted some people. I said, he's going to trip the circuit. The stock market is going to halt if he keeps asking questions. And about two questions later, it halted. Well, he raises questions. It's kind of, how can this guy be
president? His answers raise questions.
Right.
Donald, when you dig a hole with a shovel and you can't see the ground above you. Yes. Good idea.
You should stop digging. Right. So, in any event, there really isn't any hard answers when these tests are coming on board, but they are going to go up. And it's getting alarming. And I mean, they're talking about shutting down New York City. And they are very, very close to shutting it down. So they're going to be sheltering in place in the biggest city in the country. And that is because they're tacking on 1,000 cases a day. We have now passed South Korea. We have more cases in South Korea now. We moved into the number 6 slot, and we're going to go right by France tomorrow. And so, we're in the 7th. We'll be up to the 6th tomorrow. And within a month, we'll probably have caught Italy. And Italy, you know, I don't know if you saw the numbers
that
few days ago, they went up to 368, and then they were 345 the next day, 349, then 345. Today they were 475. 475 died in one 24-hour period. And so tomorrow, Italy will pass China. Italy will, on the charts of the reported cases, Italy will be number one in deaths worldwide. They will have more deaths than China has. And China actually reported for tomorrow, zero cases. So, and you know how they're keeping it at zero? They're keeping all of the Americans out. And basically, they're screening, and they're getting all these people that want to fly into China that are positive because the virus is all over the place outside of China. Yeah. And they closed the border between the U.S. and Canada. Now, why might that be? You think the border is closed because we're afraid of the Canadians coming to the U.S.? No, it goes the other way around. The border's closed because there's so much virus in the United States. Canada doesn't want any Americans coming in.
That Mexican president yesterday said he was thinking of closing the Mexican border.
Right.
Same thing.
Right. The U.S. will be number one. Hong Kong got their numbers down. And now they're starting to go up because
imports.
Others imports, correct. And they're not imports from China. They're imports from Europe, or they're imports from the U.S., or they're Chinese citizens that went to the U.S. and are coming back. I mean, that's where the virus is coming from. And in the U.S., that's where it's coming from. That these guys are saying, well, they don't say foreign travel now. They say travel in an area where there's known transmission. And that area is in the United States. They're actually identifying where the local transmission is because people are coming from that local transmission, and that's where they're attributing their infection to that region that they came from in the U.S. The U.S. is crawling with virus. There is more virus in the U.S. than anywhere in the world. And the only reason we're
wow.
not number one is we
yeah.
haven't been tested. And as soon
That's
as they
it.
Start, they've already warned. Well, once you start testing, it's going to go up because there's a backlog. The virus is in an exponential phase. Every couple of days, it is doubling.
Would it be fair to say that we may have at least a couple hundred thousand cases now in the U.S.?
In which state?
You're funny. Oh, my.
No, it is out of control. And that is why all these shutdowns are happening, because
mm-hmm.
they're looking at these numbers, and they're doing the calculation. I mean, here in Pittsburgh, now I think this is a little on the high side. They say that half of the citizens are going to be infected. And they're not saying that half are going to be infected in the next 18 months. They're saying half are going to be infected in the next couple of months. So you can go through those numbers. That if 50% of the population is infected,
it's
10% or 15% or 20% need a hospital bed, that there aren't going to be the beds.
960,000 beds in America. That's it. Total. What is it? 200,000. I think 200,000 respirators. That's it.
Right. Well, they got the reserve. They cut the reserve loose. They say, well, how many respirators are there? And they won't say. They'll say, well, it's over 10,000. But they won't give a number. So they're going to do that. They're going to release, I don't know, millions of masks. And they're going to start opening that up. That was announced today. And, you know, the question is, why were they released today? I mean, you got people that are washing their masks because there aren't any masks.
This is unbelievable.
And the numbers are just starting to go up. I mean, you're seeing the numbers. And the reason they're going to go up, you're going to see every state is going to be reporting deaths. You've got this long-term care facility. You just did an MMWR. When you read the MMWR,
mm-hmm.
it sounds like an outbreak of high path avian influenza,
mm-hmm.
because this facility was a chain, And they had like 10 different long-term care facilities in the Seattle area. And they had employees going from one location to the other location. So they were bringing in the virus from one location to the next. And that's exactly what happens with avian influenza. One farm gets infected, and then a worker gets it on their shoes, and then they go and carry the virus over to the next farm.
Same thing with
hoof and
mouth.
Or some wild birds come in and eat the grain, and they get it on their feet, and then they fly to the next barn and eat the grain, and then the chickens eat that grain, and they get the virus, and it goes from farm to farm. That's what this long-term care facility is like. But that's just the first one.
Right.
In Columbine, of all places, in Colorado, they have a long-term care facility outbreak there. In Illinois, in DuPage County, they have a long-term care facility outbreak there. So, and these are just starting. I mean, Illinois reported their first death. And it was somebody at a long-term care facility. And then they said, well, you know, there's a problem that we've already identified 17 other residents at that long-term care facility who are positive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 3 weeks from now, they're going to be dead. Half of them are going to be dead. And it's not going to be the 17 that were positive. It's going to be the entire facility when they test for another week or so. And this is going to happen all over the country, because it's just they're just not that good at infection control, especially when they've got a highly
incompetent.
Infectious
virus. It's just like the Corona Princess. You know, they were passing the virus by way of the food handlers.
It's food.
They were bringing the meals.
Exactly. And the problem is these people aren't trained in infection control, kind of like the president. You know, they don't know what they're doing. Guy touches the microphone 39 times, and he says, oh, I was just helping out. He had to adjust the microphone. You know, sometimes they're a little shorter, sometimes they're a little taller. Don't worry. I haven't been tested yet. How bad could it be? I've only been next to like 3 or 4 people in the last 7 days, you know, and I don't even know who they are. They're just standing next to me and they're taking their picture, you know.
And 15 of the Brazil contingent, the entourage that were with Trump and Pence at Mar-a-Lago are infected now. 15 confirmed.
But he didn't get it.
Oh, no.
Well, I think he did get the test. I mean, he really didn't like the test. You know, those nasopharyngeal swabs are not pleasant. I understand. So I think he really was tested. He does seem a little better.
Did his doctor tell the truth? That's the question. I don't think his ego would allow him to admit that he's infected.
National security, exactly. That he couldn't really be commander in chief if that was the case. He would lose all his authority and there'd be panic or whatever. So in any event, he did trip the circuit today, and
that's quite an achievement, I must say.
It was. I mean, he had to do a good 2 points, and he only had like a. Well, he did answer a lot of questions. So, you know, he was knocking, you know, a quarter of a point.
Is he planning on doing this often?
I don't know. He should do it after hours if he does. I mean, you could literally see the stock sliding. And he didn't know quite how close that they were showing the Dow, and it's got to hit 7%. I mean, the Dow was already down 7%. He had to get 7% on the S&P. And so it was a little tricky seeing exactly when it was going to trip. But it was pretty clear it was going to trip unless he stopped talking. And he didn't stop talking until they halted. And you could see it moving. And then all of a sudden it stopped moving. It just froze at you know, whatever number it was at. They were showing the Dow. The Dow, you know, it kept going down and down and down. And all of a sudden it just stopped. And as soon as it stopped, you knew that the circuit had been tripped.
Every time you took a question, it stopped. You can't make this up. You just couldn't. It's too amazing.
No, it was. Anyway, so the number of cases keeps going up, and you can see the effects from the of the crowds and the transmission of the virus. And one of the best examples of this is Louisiana. And, you know, most people say, well, you know, what's going on with Louisiana? How come Louisiana is getting this big jump in cases? And what's going on with Louisiana is they had the Mardi Gras. And the Mardi Gras ended, you know, about 3 weeks ago or so, 4 weeks ago. And takes a little while for the people that were infected at the Mardi Gras to go ahead and infect their friends. And then all of a sudden, you're seeing the numbers jumping. And that's what's going on with the Mardi Gras. I think that they've got, I don't know, I think they're up around 300 cases or so. And they're going up now. 100 cases a day, that kind of a rate. And the area around New York is even higher. I mean, New Jersey is going up a couple hundred cases a day. Eastern Pennsylvania is just starting to take off. They kind of joined the consortium between New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, mm-hmm. and that they're going to have the same set of rules and regulations. And today they announced that they were closing down malls, and they were closing down gyms, and they were closing down amusement parks. And so those
the one figure I saw, Henry, was that 20 million people have already lost their jobs. It may be double that before the week is out.
No, it is going to be brutal. I mean, all the automakers have closed down all their plants. And
this is
and
worse than airline, Black Friday 1929.
The airlines are closing up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because that was a one-shot deal.
Exactly.
There's no real telling when exactly.
This could last a year or more.
Yeah. Yeah. It can go or it can kind of fade and then come back again. I mean, it could fade over the summer and then come back even worse in the fall. And people will kind of be getting over the fact that it seems to be gone, but they don't really know. So there'll be all that uncertainty as to, you know, is it over or not? And and the likelihood is not.
Do we reopen our business or not? Can we recall our workers?
Right.
Oh, no. But Trump's answer, they're going to send out a $1,000 check to everybody. That's the answer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple of, I think they're planning two
checks.
Yeah, March and April or something, or April and May, I don't know. But
why didn't he suspend mortgage payments? Why didn't he suspend IRS payments? Why didn't he do something intelligent? Oh, I shouldn't ask that question. Excuse me, I withdraw it.
Yeah, well, I think he said he's going to delay that. You can delay it for 3 months without a penalty or something for if you owe, but I don't know if that's passed or not. I think that was one of the things that was considered. But it is going to have a major effect, and it is going to make, not the closing of the virus. The virus is basically going to change the way people do business and live their lives.
Permanently. This is a permanent change. I don't see it ever going back.
There's
going to
be a lot of stuff on the computer. You're going to be ordering food in. I mean, it's already going on, but it'll be much more common. And you know, meetings will just be, you know, teleconference type stuff. And
work from home.
Right.
Big time.
There'll just be a lot more of that. And especially with this kind of hanging over, because, you know, I'm not sure how bad this is going to get, but it could get very bad because the case fatality rate is high, and and it's probably higher for this European version. And this European version is what's on the East Coast. And it's not clear, you know, how much of this activity is because of the strain and how much of the activity is because of the testing. And you know, at this stage of the pandemic, it shouldn't be unclear, but it is, because you don't really know whether New York has that many cases because they have that many kits and they're just testing more and they're coming up. But they're coming up with a lot of cases. They're coming up with, you know, 1,000 cases a day now. And there's some evidence that, that suggests that they may not, it may not be the testing. The virus is really there, and it's starting to take off. And I heard Donald McNeil today. He was talking about this thermometer that is going around that is available. They're selling, I don't know, 10,000 a day now, and it's hooked up to your watch or whatever, you know, with a Bluetooth and it automatically feeds in your temperature. And people right. are essentially, you know, taking their temperature first thing in the morning, and they can see the rise in temps, and they can look at the temps and see how many days they've gone and how high they are. And they've done this now for a little while, so they've got a database of a million people, and they know where what flu looks like and when it happens, and they can. It looks like they're measuring COVID now, and they're seeing clusters. They saw clusters down in Miami before they reported in Miami. When they reported it, they were really kind of at baseline down there, and then a week or two later, the numbers started to go up as far as the reported cases. And they can probably get a much more accurate number because they, you know, like I say, they've got a million people that have been using this, so they got that type of database, and it's getting popular, so they're selling 10,000 a day. They're having production problems, but if they can keep making the devices and get their numbers up even higher, they probably will be able to look at COVID and see, you know, what the numbers really look like. But I've been going through and, you know, just scoring these, and they are, you know, definitely going up every day, and they're going up, you know, a significant amount. Louisiana, as I said, they're actually, they're upgrading twice a day. So they, like on Saturday, they had 77 cases, and then they had 103 on Sunday, and then they had 114 on Monday, and then they jumped up to 171 yesterday, and now they're up to 240, and their deaths are up to 4, and so that's kind of Mardi Gras kicking in there, but it literally is that the states are all kind of going up at about the same rate. Some of them are starting much lower. So, you know, they're starting at 10 cases and going up to 20 and then 40 type. And others are starting at 100 and going up to 200 and 400. And so those numbers don't show any sign of slowing down. And most of that is just the kits came in and they could test. It wasn't that they've expanded their testing. So the kits are there, but their limiting step is really how quickly they can collect and process the samples. Now, some of the national testing will be even more automated, and, Fisher and Roach, I think, have two automated tests that kind of everything's done by machine as far as the extractions, et cetera, so that they can extract and get samples in the PCR machine quicker, and they can get, you know, thousands or tens of thousands of tests done. And when they do that, that's when the U.S. will definitely move up to the top as far as the number of cases. And unfortunately, they will probably move up to the top in the number of deaths also. And that's going to create a tremendous burden, you know, on the healthcare.
It's already stressed in so many areas to the breaking point. They don't even, if you missed this, nurses in Seattle are washing their one mask. They don't even get a new one every day, like the doctor. They're washing their masks and trying to sterilize them. This is so obscene, it's hard to believe that a first, this is third world nation stuff. This isn't a first world nation. It's ridiculous.
And then they're going to get infected.
I'm sorry to say, right. We are going to lose so many frontline people.
And even if they got the mask, even if they got the mask, they don't have anybody to put them on because they're
there. You go. And they're going to. You know what's going to happen? And I think this is a possibility. They're going to start flying in Filipinos by the tens of thousands to help man the American healthcare system, or some other group. And they'll pay them well, and they'll tell them to bring your mask with you, go down to the airport, come on over. We will not have the bodies to do the work.
No, I know. I know. And we won't have the beds either. It's going to be
what's a hospital in your town or Philly has already put tents up outside?
No, I know. And the Healthline president said, they've got like three hospitals in the Montgomery County area. And yesterday they already had 40 cases in the hospital. And that's just the beginning because the numbers, Montgomery County, it went up a little bit. It went up from 34 to 42 today. And those additional 8 cases were just like the other ones. They're all younger. One of them was 1-year-old, so it's even younger than the 2-year-old. They're on the young side, and they're going in the hospital. And I think it's this European version, the one that's in Italy, is now floating around the East Coast, and because they didn't meet the criteria, they were just looking for people from Wuhan. You had to be from at least China.
I've never seen anything. And if you came in from
Italy, that there's no test available, and the virus just spread silently. I mean, the people knew they were sick, and they were doing home quarantine. Some of them, others, said, "Well, I don't know." They said, "I'm not sick. That's not who gets the virus. It's not in Italy."
Anybody
that had an internet connection could see it was in Italy. Everybody in Europe knew it was in Italy, and that got them testing. Because I mean, I used Spain previously, but Spain's so dramatic. They had zero cases back on the 21st of February, and Spain is in number 4 position now.
3.5 weeks.
The only ones in front of Spain are Iran, Italy, and China. That's it. They've got 14,000 cases, and they've got 638 deaths. And they've already passed everybody else. They passed Germany. They passed France. They passed South Korea.
That's the European variant at work.
Right.
Shutting down
the whole country there also, and that's what the problem is. That I have a feeling that that's what's been on the East Coast, and that's why New York and New Jersey are starting to take off.
Absolutely.
And they've got a very dense population that is
perfect for this virus. The virus loves it.
Right.
Hey,
right,
here's this right. one from MSNBC. You may not have seen this. Excuse me. I don't watch MSNBC, but I've got the story up there. The MSNBC legal analyst said Donald Trump must be investigated for negligent homicide and manslaughter regarding the coronavirus and his past performance. This is unbelievable in office, his negligence. This is a major legal analyst for a major network calling for the president to be investigated for negligent homicide and manslaughter. A lot of people are going to die because of his ineptitude, his incompetence, and all the rest of it, which we've watched.
There is no doubt. And there's no national standard. I mean, right now, you got the larger cities and states in the Northeast that are basically putting these fairly rigorous restrictions on, schools are closed and businesses, non-essential businesses are closing, and they're getting real close. I would not be surprised if they end up with a shelter in place for New York City, and they have it by this weekend, by the beginning of next week. I would not be at all surprised, because they're starting to test a little bit more in the city, and they're finding the same thing they're finding in the state, is that the virus is everywhere, and it's going up, and it's not just in, New Rochelle, and it's not just in, some borough in the Bronx or somewhere in New York. It's widespread, and the numbers are going up, and they're dying. I mean, they've got 16 deaths there now. I mean, they didn't have any like 3 days ago or so, 3 or 4 days ago. They had none. And now there's 16 deaths in New York. This happened like within the last 24 hours. I think yesterday morning they still had 3 or 4. They had like 10 by the end of the day yesterday, and then they added up to 16 today. And I think those numbers are just going to keep rolling right along. And so, like the guy said who asked the question, there's 100 deaths. There were 100 deaths yesterday. Now there's 110. And in reality, there's 140. There were 40 deaths today. So,
did you see this one? Here's another one. This is another example of the word incompetence negligent criminality of the Trump administration in terms of handling this issue. Now, Jared Kushner, Donald's son-in-law.
Yeah, he was the one in charge.
And senior advisor. He was in charge, but get this. Yes, he was in charge, and Donald was allegedly raging at him the other day because he caused me a lot of public relations issues because he was slow on it. Well, Jared Kushner has now created, Henry, his own team of government allies and private industry representatives to work, quote, alongside Donald Trump's official coronavirus task force, adding another layer of confusion and conflicting signals within the White House's disjointed response to the crisis. So Jerry has set up his own team to work alongside Trump's team. This is unbelievable what's going on here.
All right, just like Rudy and goodness, cooped together over the Ukraine. They're going to go ahead and do this with a peace person in the world, literally, to be in charge of a pandemic, and especially a 1918 pandemic. I mean, this isn't, we're going to have, the hospitals are going to be full because they're going to have a lot of people that have pneumonia, but, they're going to, most of them are going to recover. This is a 1918 level pandemic. It's got a high case fatality rate. It's got high transmissibility, and it's at its early stage. And this is the first wave. The first wave is usually milder. The virus is going to mutate, it's going to recombine, and there's going to be a certain amount of immunity that's out there. And the virus that's circulating now will fade away because it'll infect enough people that there'll be enough immunity that it won't do well. But there's so much virus out there now that there's already several different versions, and it hasn't been in humans for very long at all. But what will happen is another version will emerge that will not be affected by the immunity, and it'll come back by gangbusters in the in the fall, because it'll be more homogeneous. You'll just have this one variant that does very well with humans, and that's going to be what all these are. Right now, there's just a lot of experimentation. So some of these viruses...
Remember, this is what viruses do, ladies and gentlemen. This is what viruses do. They learn how to work around an immune response in people.
Right. And that's why you have these patterns. You have the initial one. You had it with swine flu. It was
the Herald wave.
It wasn't that widespread in the spring. I mean, it was there, and it outlasted seasonal flu. So it was the only virus that was circulating by April and May. But it kind of faded away after May, and it wasn't completely gone. It was in summer camps, and you would see these outbreaks, and you know they would. They didn't want to talk about it, and they didn't want to say it was swine flu. They want to say it was, you know, a mystery disease or some type of, you know, something going around, summer cold kind of something or other. And then when school started, it was still not the version that gave everybody fevers and sent them to the nurse's office to be sent home from school. It was just a cough, and everybody was coughing, and you know, it wasn't that bad, and they didn't really have a temperature, and they weren't seeing the nurse, and they were kind of figuring it was the beginning of school and just something was going around. And then, you know, 6 weeks later, all of a sudden, everybody had it. And they did serological studies here in Pittsburgh, and they had 40% of the students that, you know, 40% of the serum samples that were collected from school-age patients prior to the vaccine had swine flu antibodies, and you know they could set up the test so that it would be specific for swine flu because it was different enough from seasonal flu and hadn't been in humans before, and that was 40, and I think the 40% really was even an underestimate. And that happened in just a few months. That you know, whatever little bit, there wasn't that much in the fall. In the spring, because they would cause a school closing, and there were only a couple school closings in the spring in the Pittsburgh area. But then, you know, towards the in the fall, you know, especially that second wave, there were a lot of school closings, or you know, they were on limited schedules because, you know, 10% of the students were out and 10% of the teachers were out, and they were kind of teetering on closing and kind of worked their way through. And then the vaccine came and that kind of got things under control, and then the virus kind of faded, and then it just became kind of the new seasonal flu is still around, but it's not what it was initially. But it wasn't even that lethal initially. I mean, the reporters moaned and groaned and said, yeah, I thought it was going to be a pandemic. You have all these people dying. And, you know, the pandemic said it would be widespread. And it did. It took over the seasonal flu. But it wasn't that lethal. But this COVID, you know, this SARS-CoV-2 is, I don't really see that necessarily going down. It just seems to have this relatively high case fatality, and it's got this polybasic cleavage site, and so I don't see that going away. And so I think it's going to hang around. It's got these genetic components. So it's real clear when you're kind of looking at the state reports, they're coming in, and they just they'll reliably go up every time. You go back the next day, and it's moved up, and sometimes it's double, sometimes it's 50% higher. But
it's all directly tied to the amount of testing, all of it.
And they're talking about this peaking in 45 days, and it's kind of doubling every 2 or 3 days. And, yeah, that's a lot of doubling times in 45 days if you're going to do that. And you can kind of do the math on if you double it 15 times, you end up with a lot of virus and a lot of people infected. And
well, don't worry, because Jared Kushner has set up his own task force to help the Trump administration task force deal with this crisis. We're in good hands. The good hands people.
So what are they tasked to do? Just like PR kind
They're not
of thing?
Tasked or, to. It's all to Jerry.
Data?
Jerry did the whole, Jerry did the whole thing. His idea is to push for drive-through testing in a few states. That's what we understand here so far. We're not sure. Look, here,
well,
let me read this.
They've already got drive-through in a few states.
Yeah, I know. So. This guy is unbelievable. He's like, he's got to put his nose into everything. Every meeting Trump has, he sits there. He sits there like the wax man. He just sits there. You can see the pictures of him. Kushner, who joined the administration's coronavirus efforts officially last week, is primarily focused on attempting to set up drive-through testing sites with the help of technology and retail executives, as well as experts in the healthcare delivery. That's the formal word in this particular news story. This guy is literally working at odds against the Trump administration's formal sanctioned coronavirus task force. He is completely out of control. Trump will not stand up to this guy. It's bad.
Well, I mean, if he's just setting up drive-thrus, I mean, that's not going to be terrible. That's just kind of a supplement thing. So.
That's causing a lot of confusion. People are very unhappy. They don't know who to look to for leadership. This is a story that I'm reading here. It came out of the Washington Post. We know how they feel about Trump. But some have dubbed his team, Kushner's team, a shadow task force whose requests they interpret as orders they must balance with regular response efforts from the administration. So it's splitting the leadership ethos at the worst possible time. Just when Trump is allegedly getting something together, King Kushner steps in. That's nuts.
Yeah. Well, if he does set up more testing, it is going to be.
Well, that's a big if. He can set up the drive-thrus, but does he have test kits? If you're an NBA team player, you do. You get tested immediately, but not the public.
Well, I think. Yeah, my understanding is that there's a couple different versions of the commercial test. There's the Quest and LabCorp, and they've got it semi-automated, and it's they leave the collection jars. The physicians all have them in their offices, and they do a nasopharyngeal swab and they put it in there. But I think the problem with that is that the physicians don't want to do the testing. I mean, they don't want to do the sampling that they think is too dangerous.
That's extremely dangerous, especially if one mask a day is all you're going to get, pal.
Right. And so that's why they're trying to set up the drive-thrus, with the tents as separate. And, but then, theoretically, they could get, a large number of samples. And the other kits are by, Roach and, Fisher, and those are supposed to be even more automated. And so they could process the samples even quicker. And, that's kind of a next generation thing. And then, I think they're working on yet another sampling where you can do your own sampling. It's like a cheek swab they're trying to do so that you basically
get
take
there
it
eventually.
And get a sample and put it in. Kind of like they do the personal DNA. Some of them do spitting and some of them basically do swabbing. And that's what the swabbing is. They give you a couple of Q-tips and... They're longer than a regular Q-tip. You just take cheek swabs and put it in fluid and screw on the cap and drop it in the mail. And so it can be done personally, personalized, and you're not...
Well, eventually there'll be an app for it. Watch. An app for everything.
Well, I mean... Yeah, but, I mean, you still got to get a physical sample.
Yes, of course. All right.
But
here we go. Yes, go ahead, Henry. Finish up.
No, God. I was just going to say that, yeah, we're going to see what happens here. I think you got to watch New York closely because they're liable to shut down. And I think those numbers are going to continue to skyrocket and the deaths are going to go up. And I think the alarm bells are going to go up because of the numbers that are in this exponential range and highly visible. So that's what I'm anticipating for the next few days is the numbers will go up, and that's even before all these test kits come online.
Right.
And then when that happens, they're going to shoot up again.
What I'm anticipating is 98% of America was not prepared and was not able to buy enough for maybe a week or two at the most. They're going to run out of food. And when you dial 911, there's not going to be anybody coming. And the lowlifes in the society will understand that right away, and they'll just go knocking door to door with their guns, and they'll take food. This is going to get really ugly, potentially. I hope it doesn't. But as soon as the word gets out that the police, they've already announced in Philadelphia, I think I sent you that story, that they're not arresting anybody anymore, unless it's some murder, you're going to see people doing things right out of a Hollywood movie. That's what's coming. I'm afraid. When people get hungry, there's no limit to what they'll do. And a lot of people are going to get hungry.
I don't think it's going to be a problem. I don't think there's going to be a shortage of food. The food part,
well,
I think, is under control.
We hope not.
I think they're out of delivery people, you know, as far as...
doesn't matter. If it's, my point includes the trucks. If the trucks stop running, we got no food.
I think they get the major sites. I think it's the delivery to individual houses.